Well, good morning, or we could say in Portuguese, bom dia, it's a lot easier for me. And like Mark was saying, we're becoming more than just a partnership, we're becoming friends, and this year is the third time I see Mark dinner. And as I was saying that to my wife, she reminds me that you see Mark, you've been seeing Mark, then you see your sister. I only saw my sister two times this year, but let me give you, you know, an information. She doesn't live where I live. She lives a little bit farther, but so Mark's now is closer to me than my sister. But one thing he got it wrong, and I'm sorry to say that in front of you, because the name of my son, because when, you know, we had this lightsaber thing, he sounded more like Chinese. And I was telling Rafa and Jerry, that's not how you say it. But that's what happens when Santa Claus try to speak Portuguese. And you have, oh, that joke was Jerry's, okay? I just reproduced it. He said, say that. But okay, instead of saying, like if we did in Chinese, like Juan, it's João, okay? A little bit different, but you can use the lightsaber thing like João, but not João. Sorry, Mark. I don't think we're going to be seeing each other for the next 5 years after that. Thank God I have my sister. Okay, guys, let me start sharing a little bit of the what's going to be about it. And first thing I want to say, I was a kid. I was born in 78. I was a kid during the 80s. And I used to watch one of those lame shows, and I liked it a lot because they had that routine, that performance where they spin the plates. You know what I'm talking about? If you have no idea what I'm talking about, let's just watch a video. I don't know why I was so captivated by that. I don't know if it was the anxiety, is the plate going to fall? Is this guy going to make it? And I still don't know why they don't do that on the shows anymore. But what happens is when I see that performance, when I see that routine, I think that's one of the best metaphors about the church. As a church planning, you know, a church planner, you just start, you know, as a core group phase with just one plate. And, you know, it's hard, but it's not that hard. You just have to spin it a little bit and make sure it doesn't fall. So it's there for a little while. People are happy. You're happy because you have the one spinning plate going around and you're good. And you think your whole life is going to be all about that. The whole church life is going to be just about spinning one plate. But then as church keep growing, you want to put another plate. Well, there's new leaders to train. So that's another plate going on. And there's a new service, maybe an evening service or a late or early morning service, that's a new plate. And then a new ministry for teenagers, a new ministry for young adults, a new ministry for men, for women, for children, for couples, for singles, for, I don't know, Brazilians or Americans. And you got so many plates. It's all plates. And often we see ourselves, especially the pastors, trying to spin all those plates. And you realize that it's a very hard task. And usually when the pastor is doing that, he's spinning the plates, said, I cannot do it by myself. So he has this brilliant idea. Well, he thinks he's a superhero. So he calls himself, his co-hero, Robin, which is, you know, the assistant pastor. So he said, oh, so me, Batman, and Robin, we're going to do this all by ourselves. We're going to be spinning, two guys spinning all those plates. And there you see, you know, a lot of church scenarios like that. Everybody's looking, you know, is it going to fall? Is it not going to fall? Is it going to be okay? But the Batman and Robin are doing spinning the plates and everything. And then they realize, you know, Batman and Robin, they can't do it by themselves neither. So they have this, you know, brilliant insight, very new insight. We got to have more leaders. And we need more leaders. And then we bring more people on, more people to volunteer, more people on the staff, more people to spin the plates. And then when everybody's doing everything, you know, when everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, the church is very involved. There you go. You have a healthy church. Everyone is spinning the plates, trusting that Jesus is building the church. And then when, that's when we, you know, kind of breathe in a very quiet and calm way and said, oh, now we're happy, we can rest. That's a healthy church. That's a very well-balanced church. We're good. Now we can sit back, relax, and, you know, just do a little spinning place and everything will do good. But problem is when we read a text like we read Jesus' orders, that you got to be the salt of the earth and you got to be the light of the world. And you realize that's not only a question of being a church where the work is balanced, where there are great activities, where everybody is involved doing things for the church, which is a very good thing. By the way, it's a very good thing. But it's not only about that. It's a matter of being, like I said, the light of the world and salt of the world, the earth. And remember the place, the plates? And that's when you realize you have a whole new set of plates, big as the size of the earth. Okay, easy, guys. Let's reaffirm the biblical truth here that Jesus is building his church. We cannot forget that. He edifies the church. He saves the sinner. He's the head of the church. He's the one who's actually the one who's really responsible for all of that. And we have to trust that and to believe that and to acknowledge that, or else we're going to think that it all depends on us. And that's not true. Like, if we don't do anything, you know, God will just be sitting there like chewing or hoping that the church we're going to do by himself. God will make his way. And we have to know that. We cannot convince the sinner. We cannot change people's heart. We cannot make their eyes open. God's the only one who can do it. But what we can do is partner with him, and that's a privilege to do. But reaffirming that, we also know that even though he's building the church, he's the one who's saying that, I am the light of the world, Jesus said, but I will shine through you. He will shine through us. And that's why he calls himself the light of the world. And that's why he calls ourselves, he calls us the light of the world. And when we know that, we realize that's not only about being a good local church, but being salt and light where we are. And what does that mean? Well, first of all, I wanted to read a quote by Ken Hughes. He said, the Lord was saying that his disciples would perform a vast, universal task that would affect all mankind. And he was expressing a strange confidence in his followers. I like the word universal, vast universal task, and a strange confidence in his followers. Yeah, I'm counting on you. You're going to partner with me. That's what Jesus is saying. We're partnering with me to be the light of the world. And what does that mean? Salt and light. Salt goes back to preservation. You know that usually when we talk about salt during our days, usually more talk about taste, which is the next thing we're going to talk about. But in the old days, when Jesus lived, when Jesus was here, when you talk about salt, it means the preservation. They didn't have the refrigerators, so the food would be, you know, keep healthy, you know, keep good using salt. And that's the first and probably the main thing that Jesus wanted to say to us, Jesus wanted to explain to us when he said to us that we are the salt of the earth. And what does preservation means? So who's going to live on our days what God wants? Who's going to preserve his values? Who's going to preserve and show that we have different sets of mind, different values, different things? Who is still standing for God's principles? In a world that calls new values progress, and we don't believe that, who's going to still be saying, no, we're going to preserve the good old values, not because it's the church values, because it's God's values. Who's going to preserve that and say, that's how you live? That's about the church. But it also has to do about taste. What would it be like to have a life with God? What's the taste of the life of God? Look at the church. How is it? Is there an example that you guys wanted to show us to the world? Do you want to show the world how is to live in a good relation with God, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, live in fellowship and spreading the word and live the word? How is that taste? Just look at a church. Same time, preservation, at the same time, taste. And you know how salt is. A little bit, just a little bit, can change a lot. Just a little bit of salt, that steak is so good. Especially if it's a Brazilian steak. That'll taste, even without salt, it's awesome. Being salt and being light, well, the light shines, right? Stating the obvious, but the light shines. And when it shines, I'm going to quote John Stott on that. He said, it shows the glory of God. When it shines, it shows the love of God. When it shines, the compassion of God. It shows the compassion of God. It shows the word of God. And the main thing here is that what we do and say points to God's character. And he says, and mainly, it cannot be hidden. It has to be shown. So why he's saying that? This light tells the world about God's character. It tells the world about God's compassion. It tells the world about what's written in the Word of God. Proclaiming it and living it. And who's going to show it? We, his disciples. That's why Ken Hughes says, and it's, I'll say that again, Jesus was expressing a strange confidence in his followers. That's our task as partners with Jesus. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, a community of Jesus, which seeks to hide itself, has ceased to follow him. It's about being a salt, preservation, taste. It's about being light. It's about shining. But like Jesus said, this cannot be hidden. So every time we close our doors and somehow we think that's all about ourselves, like shining in the church, being salt in the church, only in here, what Bonhoeffer is saying is we kind of like cease to follow Jesus Christ, because what he's saying that even though we have, of course, to shine in here, to be sought in here, in the church, in our local community, in the local followers here, that something has to do with wherever we go, everywhere. That's why I think the main part and the most important part I want to share with you is that we have to be salt and have to shine, but it's not only about our task, it's where we're supposed to be those things. And Jesus said, you are the salt on the earth, you're the light on the world, or light of the world. So where is our stage? I could say that. The earth, the world. And when we look at the size, and when we look at the extent of our task, we realize that it's absolutely impossible to do it by ourselves. Let's imagine some scenarios right here. Imagine if you, and only you, I'm talking to you were the salt and the light of the world. You, yourself, you're the only one. You're the only light. You're the only salt of the earth. You'd have to travel a lot, buddy. A lot. Think about all the cities in the world, and you think, oh, it's going to be a cool job. I'm going to travel all around the world, you know, spend a few days in Rio de Janeiro, watch the Olympic Games, go to the beach, go to the steakhouse, and then, you know, maybe in a couple hours, I'm going to do some evangelism. No, if the whole task, it's all on you, and it's all over the world, there's no time for even a steakhouse, or Disney World, or a nice baguette in Paris. Or a nice ham in Spain. I could say all that. I'm a food guy. No time for that. You just get in that town, get in that city, get in the village. And we're talking about big cities like Rio, Paris, New York, Orlando. But think about all the small tribes. Africa, in the Amazon forest, the small tribes, maybe 10 people over there, but with a whole different set of communication language that you yourself would have to learn. Not only travel a lot, but you have to speak a lot of languages. Especially, you know, the heavenly language, which is Portuguese, we all know that, right? that's what they speak in the Garden of Eden. And then, you know, after Babel, you know, some people learn a few other language, but the original one, it's in your Bible. I don't know if you ever read that, but it's Portuguese. Besides Portuguese and English, you have to learn a lot of language. That's impossible. But let's picture another scenario. Imagine if only this church here, CPC, or even Raízes Church, my church planning, were salt and light of the world. Let's imagine CPC. You would have to reach this community here, around this area, around where you are, and then all you guys here, you know, maybe 1,000 people, would have to spread through multiple services around the globe and train every single Christian here, every single member of this church, to be either a pastor or church planner or a missionary. Because if it depends, you know, the only thing here was this church, the only depends on this church, everybody would have to be a church planner. Or everybody would have to be a missionary, when I say a missionary, abroad, somewhere else. Because it all depends on CPC reaching the whole world. And that's impossible. But imagine if we, that means our churches, the churches of the church of Jesus Christ spreading throughout the world, all Christians were salt and light of the world. And that's when we start thinking that's possible. It has to do with effort. It has to do with praying. It has to do with contribution. But under this category where everybody's doing something, there's only space for one hero. Not one person doing everything. Not one church doing everything. But every Jesus church partner with the real hero, which is Jesus Christ. So together, we're showing the world the glory of God. And that's possible. And that's why CPC partners with so many churches, with so many church planners, with so many missionaries. Because I know you guys know that you can't be physically everywhere. And you also know that the gospel of Jesus Christ has to be everywhere. You can't be physically everywhere, but you guys know that the gospel of Jesus Christ has to be everywhere. So the answer for that equation is partnership. Churches partner with local churches and church planners who later will partner again. And then we have a global movement happening around the globe. And that's what's happening. You guys are part of it. So more than ever, we have to look at God's mission. And we need this collective effort to be salt and light where God has to be so we can bless people. And this really excites me. Not only because I'm planning a church, which is, it's a very exciting process, but what I think, what I know from this text and from God's mission, that everyone not only can, but has to be involved. Everyone. First, we need leaders with vision for the local churches. The vision of a global vision for the local churches. And as much as that, you know, can be obvious. We know that, at least I'm going to talk about Brazil's reality. Not every church knows or realizes the size and the globality of the task. Next week in Brazil, it's going to happen a very big conference there, a church conference in Belo Horizonte, not in Rio de Janeiro. And I was hearing some of the teasers where the pastor saying, come to this conference. And one of them drew my attention, where this missiologist called Ronaldo Lidório, a very, very nice guy, church planner in Africa and in Brazil also. He was challenging people that every pastor who'd come would go back to his church, so that every church with this challenge, every church would support a church planner and a missionary. Or two church planters, two missionaries. I mean, two people would support two people doing work abroad. And you know what? What drew my attention is not the task itself. It's why isn't that so obvious? Isn't that it's not like this church is so it's so vivid, it's so into God's mission because it supports one missionary or one church planner. We're supposed to say, yeah, that's our basic things. Like, yeah, we do have worship service on Sundays. You understand what I'm trying to say? No one is proud, like, wow, we have a worship service on Sunday. That's a basic thing, right? Every church does that, even if it's in a place like this or even at their house. Every church does have a Sunday service. But what I'm trying to say is that we need leaders with this obvious vision, at least one or two people to support, and then we're going to see a global movement going on. We need leaders with vision for the local church, and we need everyone to see themselves as salt and light where they are. That's all about the missional church, so-called the missional church. It's not only supporting people who's going to do the work somewhere else outside. It's when we see ourselves as doing that, not only as a local church, but as a follower of Jesus Christ. That means you being salt and light. Not only us, but you and yourself. And we need everyone to see themselves there to keep up with this global movement. Leaders, everyone seeing themselves as mission. And we also need church planners to build communities that form disciples to be salt and light. Because we can reach our community around here. But there's maybe some other ones, maybe not from other, not in other countries, but around this area. And we cannot go there. So we need church planners. We need missionaries to do that. We need people praying for that. And I was talking about it last night, that sometimes we neglect this kind of thing. Say, I'm going to pray for you. Or we just say, yeah, I'm going to pray for mission. Like, yeah, it's not that much of a big deal, but, I'm going to pray for that. And that's such an important thing. Imagine if everyone, all the Church of Jesus Christ, was praying about what's going on, especially on those countries that Christians are being persecuted. If we all pray on salvation stories, that we can hear more salvation stories. What if we start this collective effort, I would say, to keep our prayer life not only including ourselves, not only including our things, which are very important, our kids, our families, our finances, but include to ask God to save more people around the globe. What if everyone would do that? We have a global movement. And we need people investing on that so it can happen all over the world. And that's how it happens with Jesus. That's how it happened with Apostle Paul. People invested on them, support them, in partnership with them, so they can go everywhere to present the gospel and to be salt and light wherever they are. Yes, it's important that it moves our heart and moves our prayer life, but it also moves our finances or our resources, because how costly it can be when you plant a church somewhere else or even close to here. And I know when I address this subject about investing financially on the kingdom of God, we sometimes struggle with thoughts and attitudes that make us hold on to our resources. And it's all about focus. First of all, the lack of focus. Instead of being together, doing God's mission, we are fighting about stuff that don't really matter. You don't have focus here. And we often see ourselves having our mind focused on things like, and I'm going to say a Brazilian example, okay? I know it has nothing to do with America, but worrying about the length of the sermon, worrying about the temperature on the sanctuary, worrying about the size of the chair, worrying about the volume of the music, worrying about, the music they chose, like repeating the same songs that they did like maybe 4 Sundays ago. I know, and I'm absolutely positive, that only happens in Brazil, right? I know that. And sometimes we are concerned about this. When we gather to talk about church, we're talking about those things. Yeah, don't you think that, Pastor Felipe would preach a little less than that? You know, he was too long. Or don't you think the music could be a little louder or be a little quieter? Or they have to bring new music and all that kind of thing. That, you know, it's, of course, we have to do in some level this kind of discussion. But sometimes it's all we talk about when we talk about the church. And there is lack of focus on what's really important in God's mission. Or inward focus. Lack of focus, inward focus. That's when you realize the church has endless needs. As we become more modern, as we become more digital, the needs grow. And sometimes we catch ourselves thinking that there's one more thing we need to buy. One more thing we need to build. One more thing we need to know. One more app we need to download. One more thing we need to invest. So now, after we do all that, we can start investing somewhere else. And like I said in the beginning, the church has endless needs. I don't think I've ever met a pastor who would say that, yeah, there's no needs in our church. We don't need to buy anything else. We're all set. Especially if they have teenagers in their congregation. They always think, oh, we should buy a new set of drums. You know, we should buy a new stereo system. You know, we should buy a new something else. There's always something we could buy that, yeah, maybe something would help our lives as church, as a congregation. But if we're going to buy everything, we're going to, you know, do a new painting. So then we start investing somewhere else. We're never going to invest because there's always one more thing we need to do, one more thing we need to buy. So it's lack of focus. So inward focus, and there's the side focus. What's the side focus? That's when churches are looking at their sides and asking themselves, are we as cool as those churches? Did you see their band? Did you see their sound system? Did you see their ministry with the teenagers? Oh, it's awesome. Did you see their ministry with the kids? Did you see their system on whatever, on account, on the secretaries, on everything, on the administration? Did you see how they do it? And sometimes what we're doing as church is looking at the sides, looking at our sides, looking what other churches are doing, and trying to compete who's got the better church. And that's how we do ministry. A competition, because sometimes, and sometimes it's our problem also as pastor, but as of course as a consumer congregation, that we kind of, you know, scared that if we don't keep up with their bands, like the band that they have on the side church or the church close, people are gonna leave. People are gonna go there. People with little kids are gonna go to this other church. With good kids ministry, and we're going to be with the one. So our focus is we have to be the better church, or the best church, I'm sorry, the best church around this area. So that's side focus. There's also, there's greed on it, on a more personal level. And I have to read 1 Timothy 6:10, when it says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And like I said about the church, there's always one more thing to buy, but that includes us. We also have one more thing to buy, one more thing to financially accomplish, so we can start investing in the kingdom of God, looking at the size of the task. And we hold on to money. We hold on to that greed. And we say, yeah, that's one thing for me, one place I want to go, one thing I have to have, one thing I got to have. And we keep all to ourselves. And we're saying, no, I have this focus. I know that's important, but just let me have this one last thing. And this one last thing lasts forever. Like a focus, inward focus, side focus, and greed. But also some people sometimes ask me, my church now, because it's a church planner, it's not actually right now investing in other church planners because we are the church planner. But my former church where I came from, it supports Gavia Church supports a lot of church planners in Brazil, some in Africa, and some in Spain. And sometimes people would come to us and ask, why are we investing in Spain or other places in Brazil or in Africa if our community around here has not been entirely reached? I know also that it's only a Brazilian question, right? No one asks that question here in America. And it's always funny, but because when you look at our history as the Presbyterian Church in Brazil, and you think that, okay, if the first guy who came here, and his name, he was American, when I say here, the first guy who went there in Brazil, he was an American. His name was Ashbel Green Simulton. He came from actually Pennsylvania to Brazil. What if this guy thought, well, United States not all entirely rich, let's just stay here and never go to Brazil? We wouldn't have got the gospel. I know Jesus is building his church, but think this way. He wouldn't have come here. So when you look, when we think about investing abroad or in a community that's not ours, or another community, we're thinking like our forefathers, like the first missionary in Brazil, the first Presbyterian missionary in Brazil. But not only that. Let's go back a little further. 2,000 years ago, when the church started, it started in the Middle East area, right? Let's just call the Middle East area. So be a little broader. What if they just kept it there? Well, as long as the whole Jerusalem is saved, we're not going to, you know, go anywhere else. The whole Palestine. As long as this whole place here, which is not that big, unless it's not saved, we cannot go. But after, you know, Jerusalem, we can go to the next country. And the next country. I don't think we'd, it'd have been in Europe or near the Americas. So how come we are saying things since we are saved? The gospel came to us because people left their homes, left their comfort, left their culture, left their families to preach the gospel somewhere else. How come we are not having the same vision and asking we have to reach only our community? Because that's not how God sees everything. God sees everything globally. That's why Rick Warren says, every church, and I mean every church, needs a global vision. And I think every Christian needs a global vision. Every Christian needs a global vision, so every church would have a global vision, because I'm positive that's God's vision. And I encourage you guys here at CPC that keep having this wonderful, absolutely wonderful vision. You have no idea. Maybe some of the missionary team probably has some idea, but maybe all of you guys don't have the whole scenario, that how many people are being saved, how many people are being reached, how many people are being transformed, because what Covenant is doing, partnering with leaders, partnering with pastors, partnering with church planners, so the whole world can be impacted. You guys are physically here, but you guys are everywhere. Oh, a lot of places. You guys are in Rio de Janeiro. So you can be salt and light like Jesus is. And I personally, I would like to thank you all guys for supporting our church planners, church plant in Rio de Janeiro. I'm positive that you guys heard a lot about Rio de Janeiro in the last few months because of the Olympic Games that was held there. And it was an awesome time because, first of all, we had a lot of fun going to the games. Me and my wife, we went to the soccer finals. We went crazy there. Yeah. It was awesome because we won the gold medal, Brazil. And we beat Germany. And that's even better. That would be better if we beat Argentina, but I'm not going to talk about it. Is Gaston here? Okay. Love you, man. But it's not only about the fun, but it's because the Olympic Games, we said that in the church around here, we don't have to go to the nations to preach the gospel. The nations are coming to Rio de Janeiro. So we experienced this partnership in a local basis. So my church and some other church and the other church, a lot of church, you know, look at Rio de Janeiro map and said, and we divided us. You're going to do evangelism in this area and in this area and in this area, the areas that had venues for the games. We divide ourselves. And my church is not that big, but a little bit of salt can make a difference. And we gave out books in Portuguese. We gave out books in English. There were Chinese. There were French. There were Spanish. There were some other languages. And we started sharing the gospel because the nations were coming to Rio de Janeiro, at least for one time, once in a lifetime maybe. And they were so cool. And I hope to someday I could share some stories with you guys on what happened, on salvation stories on what happened during this outreach. But that happened because God is moving Rio de Janeiro. God is moving people over there, you know, not only to establish a church, to establish a Sunday service, but to establish a mission there. So we can reach Brazil, so we can reach the world when they come, and whenever when they come, we go there. And I know that's CPC's vision, and I'm extremely thankful that you guys are supporting us, and I'm extremely thankful that you guys have this vision. Keep on doing that. Keep on praying for church planters. Keep on investing on church planters. Keep on investing in God's kingdom. That's the size of our task. Not only about being light and salt, but being light and salt around the globe. That's our task. That's our privilege. When the church focuses on that, it gives glory to God. May God bless you. I want to pray for you. Can you stand, please? And after I finish prayer, I'm gonna pray the Lord's Prayer in Portuguese also. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for CPC. I thank you for this morning. And I thank you for what you're doing through this church and in this church, God. How you've been changing hearts. How you've been expanding their vision. And how that become a reality when they start investing in other people, investing in other church planning. Because I know, God, that only you and only you can change our hearts. We love, God, to see things for ourselves, to keep things for ourselves. But I thank you for the generosity of this church. And I ask you to keep blessing them and keep giving every single one of us, every single one of us, this wonderful task, this wonderful vision that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Don't let us, you know, God, don't let us, please, have another focus. Don't let us be so windward or just looking at the sides or just having no focus whatsoever. But let us, please, God, look at what you're doing and what you want to do through us. And please bless this church. Bless every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer in Portuguese. Pai nosso que estás nos céus, santificado seja o teu nome. Venha ao teu reino, seja feita a tua vontade, assim na terra como nos céus. E o pão nosso de cada dia nos dai hoje. Perdoa as nossas dívidas, assim como nós perdoamos aos nossos devedores. E não nos deixe cair em tentação, mas livra-nos do mal. Pois teu o reino, o poder e a glória para sempre. Amém. Amen. May God bless you.